Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for being here on this lovely day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, also known in football world as Bye Sunday. No football game for Steelers. That gives us plenty of time today. Several announcements. First, to take your red pad, sign it, pass it down with name, address, if you've not done that, with the email address. If you've not been getting emails from me or from the church, that means we've not gotten it from you, or we've not somehow got it and recorded it, and sometimes things do fall through the loop, so we would appreciate having that. Go through these quickly. We want to welcome Debbie here this morning, who plays for us and does a lovely job. She also works over at Bittner Vision and helps me with my glasses, so I know her quite well. And we helped her son with a project a while back. But Debbie always does such a lovely job for us, and I'm glad to have her this morning. There's a congregational meeting right after worship this morning. It is to present the budget to the congregation in the Presbyterian Church. The budget is not voted on, but my call to the church is voted on by the congregation. I will slip out, and so you can do that in private and discuss it, and then I will come back in. Also, the officers are being voted on. Now, the treasurer, and sometimes people get confused, but the treasurer and assistant treasurer are not voted on. They're appointed by the session, and hopefully they've been asked by someone in session. If they haven't, oh please, I hope they have, because we talked about it, and they accepted that position, and we are very thankful for that. Deacons are holding the annual Thanksgiving dinner. I believe it's been going on for 21 years. Started the first year I was here by the deacons, and it's been a great thing for our community, for people who don't have somewhere to go, or maybe an older couple live by themselves, don't have family, want to come down. Instead of going to a restaurant or try to cook a big meal at home, they come down, and we have set the tables up in kind of a family atmosphere, and it's just a really great time. Usually have around 50 people, and people just come back year after year after year. Then we add some new ones, lose a few from death or from moving away. But it's just a great time. And many of our members eat here too. So some people come early and serve or fix the food, serve, eat, and I will come and eat and then stay and help clean up. So if you've not signed up yet. And the Christmas poinsettias, you can sign up for that. So there's sign-up sheets for the back for food and if you want to eat, if they're still back there. The big fundraiser for the youth group, and to see the signs out in the community. They're white with black writing and very readable, look very nice. For the craft show and cookie walk, and I know you will want to help make some cookies. They need more this year, have more tables, and they always sell out the cookies very, very quickly. And so I hope that you can be a part of that, and you can talk to one of the ladies, Linda, back, the two ladies sitting out on the very back. Talk to them. They're raising their hands and waving, and so they could use some help. And we have another announcement back here, the lady coughing.
That's me. December 3rd will be decorating day at the church sanctuary, so anybody who's interested in helping with that would be greatly appreciated, and we're starting about 9 o'clock in the morning.
9 o'clock, December 3rd, decorating with the chrismon trees and the wreaths and different things. So come on out and have a good time. Any other announcements that need to be made? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, a very beautiful song for the beauty of the earth, 560.
Thank you.
worship, continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as the great shepherd of all humanity. We praise you for your everlasting love for each of us. Forgive us when we reject your love and concern for our lives. Remind us that we are supposed to have an intimate relationship with you. Help us to believe that our encounters with you in prayer and worship are personal and powerful. We believe that Jesus laid down his life for us. May we be willing to sacrifice self for Christ and his church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us have a sense of unity this morning here in Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and with other churches around our community and around the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Persons here you don't know the name, make sure you find out their name. Our responsive reading is 653, God's love, the most beautiful love this world has to offer. God's love, 653. Responsive reading out of your red hymnals, very near the back. 653, God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the
sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
No one has seen God.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
Invite you once again, if you've not signed the red pad, if you would do so at this time with your name, address, zip code, serial number, blood type, Facebook, whatever. We'd like to have a record of your attendance. But we're not the kind of church that beats your door down the first Sunday, so don't worry about that. Just want a record of having your attendance here. I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer. And when we get ready to pray and lead you into the Lord's Prayer, remind you in the Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. I've got some names on the back. Danny Mellinger is a grandchild of Art and Isabel. He was involved in an accident. He's not a member of our church, but we'll be praying for him. We pray for a lot of people who are not members. Don Wagner is in the VA hospital. He's terminal. I'm going over and visit him as often as I can. Seen him twice now, served in communion the other day when Connie was there. We had, I think, a nice visit. Suzanne Connors is out of the hospital. She did have a mini stroke, and she has high sugar, trying to get that regulated. It bounced up into the high 600s, and so she's trying to deal with that. Mary Ellen Porter, being a shut-in, is real lonely. We talked about that last week. We'd like some telephone calls or cards or visits. And Dan had an operation on a hernia and is recovering from that. And Christine is at home recovering. And Paul is going to see the doctor next week to find out if he can drive. And so we're looking forward to find that out, and also to get his boot off, correct? He hadn't got that off yet. Two different things. That's a little further down the line, but that's at least in the works soon. And Janet Hall is going through her treatments for the bone cancer. And Muriel is through with her treatments. She's not here this morning. And my wife Robin's back surgery is slated for December the 7th. So appreciate prayers for all of those things. Anyone else this morning? This would be prayer for our church in general, for the congregational meeting following church. Yes. Okay, her boss is starting a new treatment for her cancer. Let's be in prayer for that, Kathy. For Kathy's mom and for a neighbor with some colon abscesses. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. When is she headed home? Tomorrow. That's what she keeps saying. She, I don't think she wants to leave. Okay. Lynn, for her fight against breast cancer. You in the choir. Comfort for Cody, he lost his lizard. Hey, that's not a silly prayer. If I lost one of my pets, I would be devastated. I got a chip in my dog, so it doesn't happen. And, died, okay. Young lady diagnosed with cancer, has three young children. Kathy? If Cassidy fell out of a tree and sprained her foot. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We believe that you are the great shepherd, the good shepherd, that you love us, that you have compassion upon us in mercy and grace. We believe that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins, to make that atonement, because we could not work our way into heaven. Our deeds could never be good enough. So we accept what Jesus has done for us, and then we go out into the world trying to do good deeds, trying to live a Christian life as best as we can. And yes, we do fall short. But you tell us we can confess our sins and be cleansed again, and we thank you for that without losing our salvation. But we take this time as the church collective here today in agreement, praying for ourselves, praying for those who have been mentioned and listed in the bulletin and the Valley newsletter, who are spoken about, who are silently whispering a prayer to you today that they didn't want to mention, maybe shy or maybe very personal. We thank you that you are a personal, intimate God that we can talk to, that you care about our every need. No need is too small or too large for you to be concerned about or to meet. We go about our daily lives at times hurting, and at other times we go about with great celebration. The world is a mixture of both. Help us to understand that. And one day everything will be worked out for us and we will come to a full understanding in glory in heaven. But while we're on this side of heaven, give us strength. Help us to use our faith and our knowledge of who you are and your love to hold on to get us by. Hold on to our friends. Hold on to the scripture that gives us comfort. Hold on to our times of worship and prayer and fellowship. And thank you for this church. We may be small, but we believe that we have mighty things that we can do. Great things, maybe not by the world's standards, but by your standards for us. And help us always to know what it is that we can do, how we can reach out, how we can touch lives, how we can be a part, how we can help you, how we can help those who feel broken, who feel rejected, who feel different. Help us, Lord. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for Jesus and his wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And since we have a guest today, And we probably could have worked it out, but we just went, instead of a screen song, we got one out of the hymnal. And it's a beautiful one, Jesus Loves Me, 579. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Lord, on this week that we celebrate Thanksgiving, we are thankful for all the gifts that have come from above, that you've blessed us with the bounty of this earth, and with friends, with fellowships, with our places of employment, with monies, with hobbies, with different things to do that gives our life enjoyment. We thank you for our church, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came into our world and gave us a way out of our sin and gave us the promise of eternal life in heaven for all of eternity. We're so thankful for that. Help us to have the courage and the strength to use the gifts that you've given us for the glory of the church. that we may grow in spirit, in truth, in numbers, in all the things that we want to do in outreach for our community, that we can help ourselves, but we can help others, that they can find out who Jesus is and find the peace that passes all understanding. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and even our friend. Amen. Okay. As Bill is coming forward, just want to remind you, if you have not filled out an estimate of giving card for 2012, that's what it looks like. You can still do so at any time. And I just got the scripture to Bill last night, so I was behind, but I had a reason.
It was yeah, behind, that's...
Well, first of all, I'd like to make an announcement. Next week, I won't be here. But Dominic has volunteered, with a little twist of his arm, to read scripture for us next week. Thank you, Dominic. Good morning, Renshaw Valley.
Good morning.
The motif of the Shepherd King is widespread throughout our Bible. The Shepherd King is anyone who is responsible for caring for or guiding people, such as a ruler, a minister, or a teacher. Remember that David and Moses served as shepherds themselves. Jesus often referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. In John 10, verse 11, and as well as in verses 14 and 15. A good shepherd was highly regarded in biblical times. Now, in our scripture today, Ezekiel was a prophet during the times when the Israelites were banished from Babylon, or banished to Babylon from Israel. They were spread out all over the world. They had lost their ways, primarily because the leaders of that time had lost their faith. In the passages just before today's scripture, Ezekiel, speaking for the sovereign Lord, or God, denounced earthly shepherd kings, who put caring for themselves above caring for their flock. I refer to verse 3, or 2 and 4 of chapter 34. In today's scripture, God, through Ezekiel, refers to himself as the good shepherd, the one who cares for his flock entirely, the people of Israel, for us, and he does this above anything else. So please listen to today's scripture, Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
You know, sheep, we all have our images and how we think about sheep. They have a reputation for being passive, for being helpless. Gentle as a lamb, we say. Well, maybe, maybe not. The stories I am about to tell you, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. What I'm about to tell you is not hyperbole, I'm not exaggerating. These are true stories. At least I have been told that they are true, so I'm relating them back to you as true. Reuters News Service told of an Egyptian man who had been pushed to his death from a three-story building by a sheep that was being prepared for slaughter. The report noted that many Egyptian city dwellers keep their livestock on their roofs, and I've seen that. They do it in Israel also. This particular city dweller had been fattening his sheep, getting it ready for slaughter for a ritual sacrifice. Before that could happen, however, for some unknown reason, the sheep butted the man off the building, and he fell to his death and bled out in the street. It's a tragic story, of course, but it is a very odd story. You don't think of a sheep. We think of them as gentle and easygoing. Maybe if it had been a goat, we would say, yes, that sounds right. A sacrificial sheep mortally wounding the man who is going to sacrifice him. It's ironic, but it is not entirely unique. About that same time, a Bedouin shepherd, also in Egypt, was shot in the chest and killed when one of his flock, one of the sheep, jogged his loaded shotgun as he slept. A sheep shot a shepherd. Afterward, police seized the gun, which was not licensed, and I believe the moral of the story here has more to do with keeping your eye on a loaded weapon than it has to do with the nature of a sheep being a killer. Research in New Zealand, which is famous for having more sheep than people, has shown that about a third of the farmers have been seriously injured by sheep attacking the shepherds, often being charged from behind and receiving damaged knees and broken vertebrae. Meanwhile, in England, a 28-year-old woman parachutist named Alison Pearson made a 13,500 drop from an airplane without incident, except that she landed in the midst of sheep. A ooh and you in that field panicked and charged Allison, hitting her in the chest and giving her serious chest wounds. Finally, in Wales, a gang of sheep, and when I read this, all I could think about, a gang of sheep putting on little black leather jackets and cigarettes hanging out of their mouths, going around the neighborhood roughing people up. But they come out of the hills, and they come down to the local supermarket and get in the parking lot. And when somebody comes out with their shopping cart and starts to unload into the trunk or the boot, however you want to say it, into the back of their car, they start menacing the person unpacking the groceries. They start crowding around and nudging them and trying to get to the food. They're particularly fond of fresh cakes and French bread and ice cream they also like. I couldn't help but think, well, what flavor of ice cream do they really like the most? Are they chocolate or vanilla? You know, that's how my mind works. So they, you know, they push the chocolate out of the way and look for French vanilla, you know. Here's something that's important. Not only are sheep not really that passive and helpless as we suppose, but sheep have an undeserved reputation for being dumb, researchers tell us. Kendrick's team found that sheep can recognize as many as 50 other sheep 3 years after meeting them. I can do it for about 30 days. This means that sheep have a reasonable amount of intelligence, and Kendrick suggests that they may have similar abilities to humans in many ways. These thoughts about sheep might help us focus our attention today on the words from the Old Testament lesson in Ezekiel that Bill so aptly read and helped us to understand. Notice how intimate the relationship is between sheep and the shepherd in this passage from Ezekiel. I myself will search my sheep and look for them as a shepherd looks after a scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. Here the sheep is Israel, and the shepherd, of course, is God. He goes on to talk about binding up the injured and strengthening the weak. Notice how devoted the shepherd is to his sheep. God really cares about his people, and that's a good thing to know, that God really does care about us. He really is concerned about our needs, our hurts, our wants, and our desires. He didn't just create the world and walk away and is going to come back at the end of time and say, well, what happened? God loves us in an intimate and personal way. And I think that's very, very important for us to understand as Christians. A National Church executive, Reverend Ronald Gluskamp, tells what it means to him that a shepherd cares for his sheep. He says that he can remember standing in the hallway of the church with his family members when he was just a child. In one particular place in the hallway of that church, there was a large picture photograph of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. In the picture of Jesus carried a little lamb like I had at the start of the service, and connected to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, by flowing ribbons were lots of little lambs. In particular, this picture carried all the names of a particular congregation who were under the age of 3. And the little lambs were connected by blue ribbons, and the little girls were connected by pink ribbons. And as a little boy, this church executive remembers standing there with his name on one of the sheep and a blue ribbon connected to his name, and remembering a sense of belonging to that church and a sense of belonging to Jesus Christ, as if he were that lamb being held and cuddled by Jesus Christ himself. Belong to God. Loved by Jesus Christ. And I think some of you can relate to that. You remember in your childhood seeing these kind of pictures. I remember in my church, pictures like that all over the place. My Sunday school rooms, certainly. The Good Shepherd holding a little lamb in his arms. And I would see that and I would feel comfort. I still feel comfort when I see that today. Still feel it. The scriptures are full of images of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23 has given comfort to millions of people during the good times and during the hard and the difficult times. In John 10, Jesus uses the same imagery. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Then later in that same chapter we read, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they will follow me. One of the stained glass windows we have at the back is Jesus with the sheep down at his feet. It's one that I use in the PowerPoint as a welcoming lot. Arthur Oz Hillman talks about a friend of his who was visiting Israel with some other friends. They were in agricultural area visiting some of the famous biblical sites when they came near some sheep herders. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel and you see this, the Bedouins out and you see the shepherds on the hillsides. And there was a round pen where they used to bring the sheep in at night. And they were watching this, and the shepherd came with his sheep and he brought his sheep into the pen and they all followed and they went in, they were herded in. It's like you would do cattle or whatever kind of animals to lay down for the night. About 5 minutes later, another shepherd came because it was that time to get them in. And he came and he brought his sheep in. They came. The light of pen was starting to get kind of full. And a few minutes later, another shepherd came. His sheep came and they went into the pen and there were no dividing demarcation lines or anything in there. All the sheep were just in there together. And they wondered, how in the world are they going to separate these sheep in the morning? Are there marks on them? Are there tags in their ears that they can do, that they can go around? They have magic markers that they mark them with. How do they separate them? How do they know? It's not like they're cattle in Texas with their brand on them. The next morning, a shepherd came over to his pen, and he simply spoke to his sheep. And one by one, his sheep began to come out. His sheep, not a single other sheep came out. His sheep all came out. And then he shut the gate. The sheep recognized the shepherd's voice and followed him, while the other sheep remained in the pen. My sheep listen to my voice, said Jesus. I know them, and they follow me. That's like an experience that Dan Covington tells about. He recalls what it was like as a child being called home. We all, I think most of us, remember. I did growing up in a small town in the South. When it was lunch or dinner time, supper time, my mother would just, you know, go to the front door and yell, Leonard Jr., dinner. I could hear her. I'd come either immediately or finish what I was doing, pick up the ball or whatever, and come home. That's what many of us remember. Or maybe you lived somewhere and you had a bell hooked to the door, and that bell would ring, and you remember the tone of that bell, and you would come a running. It's time to eat. But he says, his dad did it, not his mother. I was always called home by my father, and he didn't do it in the customary way. He walked down the alley all the way to the lake. And if I was close, I could hear the shoes on the gravel before he even came into sight. If I was far away, I would see him across the surface of the water, emerging out of the shadows and into the gray light. He would stand with his hands in his pocket of his windbreaker, just standing there looking. This is how he got me to come home. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. I like that. To me, that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ has done. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. Most of us can think back to our childhood when someone called us, that loved us, and then knew our name. Knew that someone cared about us and that we were important to them. Maybe it was our parents, our grandparents. Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe it was a friend. That very fact gave our lives meaning, and it still gives us a sense of identity even today. The picture of God in the Old Testament, particularly in the prophets, vacillates between warnings and promises. The Old Testament is tough. Looking at God in the Old Testament makes you, I wonder, what have we got here? Who is this God? But here in the book of Ezekiel, we find this beautiful, loving picture of God's love. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back, the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. This is who God is. Ezekiel is saying to us, God loves us in a very intimate and a very personal way. We can find God in a few places in the Hebrew Scripture, most notably in the prophets, where it talks about love. However, to the coming of Jesus Christ to show us how much God loves us and cares. Not only as a good shepherd, but as a loving, caring parent. It took the coming of Jesus for us to know that we could call God Abba, or Daddy. That it was a personal, intimate relationship. That God wants to love us. God desires our love. And not just to love us, but for us to love Him back. To return that love. A two-way street. This is who God really is. God cares for you and for me more than we can even imagine. This is the unique message of the Christian faith. That no other faith really has. A young woman was visiting China for the first time, and she stood there in Canton at a Buddhist temple, and the guide had told the party this house of 10,000 Buddhas, and it was easy not to be exaggerated to have 10,000 in there. And the girl stared at the countless carved faces, some of which were hideous and most were grotesque. And finally she asked, "I have been looking for one that looks like the Good Shepherd of my Bible, but I don't see any. Do you have any Buddhas here that care?" And I don't mean any disrespect to Buddhism or any other religion, but Buddhism is not really a religion. Buddhism, at its very heart, you need to understand this, is a philosophy. It is not a living faith. So don't look to Buddhism to tell you what God is like. It will leave you flat. It does not pretend to do that. Only Jesus can show us what God is like. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep so much that he will lay down his life for them. This is what we read in John 10:11. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." On the surface, that sounds absurd. Someone has said it seems foolish to think of a man willing to die for a mere animal. However great the affection for them, remember this. There's a far greater gap between God and human beings than there is between human beings and animals. It's an extraordinary idea, but this is what Christians believe. The divine shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. If that doesn't take your breath away, what will? Writer Ron Hutchcraft puts it in one of his devotions. He tells a story, and I'm going to close with this story. And the most famous racehorse of all time, Seabiscuit. I watched the movie, then I read the book on Seabiscuit. It's set against a backdrop of the Great Depression. Seabiscuit was the son of a great champion, but he was not like his father. Seabiscuit had been forced to run with other horses and had been forced to lose. And this actually affected the personality of this horse. Yes, animals have feelings. They have personalities. When he raced, he did what he was trained to do, lose. Because of the poor treatment Seabiscuit received, he became an angry, almost uncontrollable horse. And finally, he was given a chance by a trainer many considered to be too old and a jockey many thought to be too big. But Seabiscuit thrived in the care of people who believed in him and became one of the greatest horses of all time. The trainer sees in the horse something that others have missed. He says when Seabiscuit's eventual owner is deciding whether to buy this apparent loser, you don't throw a little something away just because it's been banged up a little. And when the trainer wants to fire the jockey, the owner reminds him, you don't throw a life away just because it's been banged up a little. And after telling Seabiscuit's story, Ron says, maybe you're one of those banged up lives. You've been treated poorly. You have been made to feel that you never measure up. You've been made to feel somehow that you are a loser. People have undervalued you and not seen the potential that you have in your life. But there is someone who has never thrown aside a banged up life, not one time. who sees beyond what's on the outside, who sees to the inside, the wounds that are on the inside, the hurts, and sees the potential that you have as a person, as a unique individual. Because He built you, my friends. He made you. He put you together. And Jesus is your hope of a new beginning, where a future does not have to be just an extension of a broken past and hurt and pain that you have felt. In Isaiah 6:1, the Bible says of Jesus, "The Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus has done this for millions and millions and millions of banged up people for 2,000 years, and He can do it for you. Don't think for one iota of a second that He cannot do it for you. The Bible says of His death on the cross, He carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by His wounds, we are healed. With someone who loves us so unconditionally, so completely, you don't ever have to trash yourself again. You don't have to take your time to be trashing other people either. It's beneath you, and you don't have to trash your future. You are somebody. You can tear up that name tag that identifies you as a victim and replace it with a child of the King, a child of God. Jesus, God's one and only Son, sacrificed Himself to become the ultimate banged up Savior so that you didn't have to be. However much you've been betrayed by other people in this life, you can trust Jesus Christ. However much you've been hurt and rejected, you can count on Jesus to never leave you and never, ever to forsake you. And your new beginning can start this very day. We began this message with the story of a shepherd being sent to his death by a sacrificial lamb. What defies all logic is to imagine a shepherd willing to lay down his life for one little sheep. And as the writer said, there's far greater gap between God and human beings than there is between human beings and sheep. But this is the good news for the day. God really does care about you. Not just somebody else, but about you. The shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for you, for you, for you. And I hope that you'll please accept this free gift of salvation. All you have to do is just ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive your sins. And it's done. It's that simple. It's so simple. And live your life from that moment on as a child of the King. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn is, I have no idea, 556. Now thank we all our God. That's got to do with Thanksgiving, I guess. I'd like to remind you of the Thanksgiving luncheon we have here on Thanksgiving Day, provided by the congregation and to the community. If you'd like to come and eat, it's a free meal. You can sign up at the back or call the church. If you'd like to make something to help out, if we still need some food, and you can bring other people down with you. We just need a head count so we know about how many people to prepare for and to set up for, but it is open to the community. Remind you that communion is next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, and we're going to have something a little different, some drama next Sunday, provided by Carol and her helpers. We're very excited about. And let you know that you do not have to be Presbyterian and you do not have to be a member of this congregation to receive communion in this church. All we ask is you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to welcome Janet. I just realized she's in the congregation today. I just saw her at the end of the service. And welcome here. Good place to be. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, may you go knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that you are of value, intimate value to God, that He loves you in a very personal way, loves you so much, willing to die, that you would have eternal life. Go share that good news, and go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.